Begin today with the Mishnah on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. And this Mishnah is a continuation of our discussion about the Mazik of Eish. A person left a fire without guarding it. Avra Gader Shehu Gavah Arba Amos. O Derech HaRabim O Nahar Pot. In three cases, the Mishnah lists a Ptur from Eish. And the reason for this p'tur is because we don't anticipate that the eish will spread and do damage. The first of the three is a gader, gavah arba amos. And that means that, let's say, on the other side of the gader, there is a field. And let's say there are kotzim on the other side, some sort of a flammable wooden substance or dried vines. From the top of those dried vines, the gader rises 4 amos. And therefore, there's a 4 amah protection against the flammable substance. In other words, the ratio of the eish to the kotzim is a separation of 4 amos from the top of the kotzim. Because we're always afraid that the top of the kotzim, that's where the fire is going to start. Now, Tosus points out, Divrei Maschil Avra, that we're talking about a gader that's not higher than the Shalheves at all. In other words, if the gader is higher than the Shalheves, then the Gemara wouldn't have said, as we'll soon see, that we're talking about an Eish Kolachas as opposed to a Nichfefes. Those terms will become clear soon. If the Gader is higher than the Shalheves, then what's the difference between a Kolachas and a Nichfefes? It would never be capable of being Mazik and passing over a fence that's taller than it. So that, again, according to Tosfos, what we're talking about is, number one, where the gader rises 4 amos above the top of the kotzim, and where the gader is not quite as high as the shalheves. That's Tosfos' diuk based on the Gemara that we're about to learn about nichfefes versus kolachas. Tosfos says that the atzei hadleika are not higher than the gader, because if the etzim are higher than the gader, then it's not going to be sufficient that the gader is higher than the kotzim. Then the Mishnah goes on to mention derech harabim. Derech harabim means it has the width of 16 amah. That's your definition of Rishus HaRabim L'Inyan Shabbos in Perek HaZorek. And that definition will apply here as well. Finally, you have a Nahar. You have a river that separates the fire from the victim of the fire. And again, whether the river has water in it at this point or doesn't, what about a man-made river, irrigation, all that is going to come up in the sugya. Immediately, the Gemara asks the following question. Vasanya, we learned in a brisa, Avra Gader Shu Gavoa Arba Amos Chayov. If the fire rose above a fence that separated it and contained it, that was 4 amos high, you're Chayov. Here the Mishnah says that if the Gader is 4 amos high, you're Potter. Amar Rav Papa, to reconcile the Mishnah with the Braisa, Tana Didan Kachashiv Milamala Lamata. Whereas the Braisa is talking Milamata Lamala. What does this mean? If you're talking about a Milamala Lamata situation, meaning you're calculating the height of the Gova, of the Goder, and you're going down. And you're going down up to 4 amos. When you hit the 4 amos, that's the final stage in being potter. Up until 4 amos on the minimum side. However, the Tana of the Braisa is talking milamata lamala. The Tana of the Braisa is saying that unless this gader goes high and high as far as up to four amos, then you'll be chayav. So basically, both the Mishnah and the Braisa are saying the exact same thing. Rav Papa adds another point here. He says that if the gader that the Eish traversed is Sheish Amos Yopatur, Chamesh Amos Yopatur, Ad Arba Amos Yopatur. So that's what we call Milamal Lamata. That's what the Mishnah is saying. That you keep remaining Patur if the Gadir is high from 8 Amos down to 6 Amos down to 5 Amos up until 4 Amos. And 4 Amos you're still Patur. And the Tana of the Braisa is counting the opposite direction. Milamata lamala kochoshev. Shtei amos, if the fence is only 2 amos ha'yechayev. If it's 3 amos, shalosh amos yechayev. Ad arba amos, until the 4th amo you'll be chayev, but not at 4 amos. Once you hit 4 amos, then you become put. So in a word, both the Mishnah and the Braisa are saying the exact same thing, just they're formulating and calculating in two different ways. There is no stira, there is no machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Now, Rava wants to add something about the shear of Arba Amos. Omar Rava, if the fire traversed a fence that was Arba Amos, is Sha'omru de Potu, is Potu Afilu Bistei Kotzim, even if the fire jumped into a soda that was made of kotzim, these are dried vines and so forth, and that's something which is extremely flammable, and the fire caught onto these kotzim, but nevertheless, since there was a god there, is your potter, even in that case, Amar Papa, these fast kotzim lamala arba amos, is what we discussed earlier in the Mishnah, that from the top of the kotzim, the highest point of the kotzim, there's got to be 4 amos of height of the gadir, of the fence. Omar Rav, and here's what Tosus was referring to earlier, the distinction between kolachas and nechfefes. Rav says, lo shanu, when the Mishnah says that your potur for eish, when it traveled over a fence of 4 amos, that's only ella the kolachas, it's a fire that goes straight up in the air. Avodesh nechfefes, if the wind spreads this fire around on the bottom and it bends it, so to speak, in this area and that area in such a way that the fire, the flame itself, is jumping above the original esh. You know, there's a kind of a leaping flame, if you will. Says Rav, in such a case of a nechfefes, afilu ad mea amachayv. Very often, a flame that's jumping, that's leaping in the air, will climb to great heights, and this is all a result of the impact of the wind. And as a result of these great heights, it'll traverse even a fence of 4 amos high, and it'll continue burning different things on the ground, you know, and it spreads very quickly on the ground, even to a distance of 100 amo. Ushmuel Omar Masnisin Binichfefes. The Mishnah, when it says that you're pot because you put up a fence of 4 amos high, is talking about a case of this leaping flame, Avol Bikolachas. But if you're talking about a flame that goes straight up vertically, is Afilu Kolshu Potur. Even if the fence is lower than 4 amos, you're still going to be potur, because since the flame is going up and down, it's basically contained. Now, this, everything that we presented here is according to Rashi's first explanation. And the adifus, so to speak, the superior position of a nechfefes to a kolachas is because of gova. In other words, in terms of how high the fire could rise and traverse the fence. However, Rashi has a second lishna. And according to the second Mishnah, the discussion about nechfefes is not with regard to how high it could jump and leap into the air and climb over the fence, but rather, since it's very low and it gets tangled up in the grass and in the twigs and all the different pieces of wood, flammable wood that are on the ground, it has a tremendous power of distance, and it could pass much further than a kolachas. And the whole discussion here with regard to Rav and Shmuel revolves around a derech harabim. How far will it travel? Usually a derech harabim, which is 16 amas wide, would contain the fire. Rav says that only makes sense if it's a kolachas, but if it's nechfefes, even if it passes beyond a wide area of 100 amos, for that matter, it would still have the power to burn and damage. Shmuel says, on the other hand, no. In the case of the Chfefes, if you have this wide area of 16 amos, that's enough to contain the flame. In the case of Kolachas, you don't need a Nahar or a Rabim of 16 amos. And Tosfos seems to reject the second interpretation, because later on the Gemara is going to quote a member of Rava with regard to Derech Rabim. Until now, we haven't even discussed Derech Rabim. We're talking about Shir Gova, the height of the fence. So again, let's just review the Machlokas Shin Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, our Mishnah and the shear of 4 amas begova, the gadar, is only with regard to a kolachas, a flame that's vertical. With regard to nechfefes, where the fire is spreading in its width and it's leaping, in such a case it could go very far, and yechai for even mea amas. Shmuel says no, the Mishnah is talking about a case of nechfefes, and in the case of this leaping flame, you need a minimum shear of 4 amas begova in the gadir. But in the case of kolachas, even a low fence of a kolshu would be sufficient to contain the fire. That's in the case of kolachas, because kolachas is not really going anywhere. Tanya kavosei de Rav. We have a braisa that supports Rav. Amed dvar amurim. When do we say that if the flame goes as far as a derech harabim, your patur, that's only bekolachas, aval b'nechfefes, eitzim ametsuyim la, afil ad me'amil chayov. In the case of nechfefes, which, you know, singes pieces of wood that are anywhere in its proximity on top of the karka, you know, this is the flame that's moving on the ground level and shooting out, is it doesn't matter how far it goes, even mea mil. Again, a mil is a very long area. It's a merchak that goes for a mile or more, and here we're multiplying by 100, nevertheless yechayev. Ovra naro shlu l'shem rechavim shmon amas potu. If, on the other hand, this Eish Nechfefes passes through a body of water, then, as long as that water is 8 amos wide, you're potter. In any event, it's very clear that the second din in our Mishnah of Avra Derech Rabim, you're potter, only applies to a kolachas, and Rav holds that in the case of a kolachas, whether it's begova dalet amos in the gadir, or whether it's the width of 8 amos, that's enough to contain a kolachas. But with regard to a nechfefes, which travels at the speed of light, so to speak, on the ground, spreading like wildfire, that itself cannot be contained, neither by a fence of 4 amos high, nor by a riverbed that is 8 amos wide. Now let's go back to this discussion about a fire that travels through an area of width of Derech HaRabim and Yepotur. Mantana, who is the author of that Mishnah, who holds that if the fire traveled even just the shear of Derech HaRabim, Yepotur, Rava, Rabbi Eliezer, he, the Sanya, We learned in the next Mishnah that is machlokas tanoim. How far do we expect the fire to travel? And when it's very, very far, and we didn't anticipate that it would go that far, you potur. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Sheshesrei Amos, Kiderech Rishus Arab. So Rabbi Eliezer maintains that if there's a 16 Amma width, that's called Derech Rishus Arab, and that's going to contain the fire. And that's the author of that Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva. In the Mishnah later on is going to argue that it's got to pass an area that's wide, 50 amas wide, in order to be potter. Rav Shimon is going to say there's no shear. It rather reflects depends on the size of the fire, how high the fire is. But our Mishnah that sets up the shear is 16 amas, kiderech rishus harabim, that it reflects Shita Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah says, oh Nahar, your potter if it travels by, if the ace travels across a river, Rav Omar Linahar Mamish, Rav takes this Mishnah literally, and Shmuel Omar, but Shmuel says, Arisa Didaloi, we're talking about a smaller pool of water from which we are Dola Umashka, we just irrigate fields, and it's probably, you know, an area that was circumscribed by human beings. You know, it's the water itself is natural, but the way the water is contained and spread in order to irrigate different fields, that's already through human intervention. So the Gemara now analyzes this machlokes shin Rav and Shmuel. Mandi, Omer, according to Rav Nahar Mamish, is Afalgav de Leka Maya. The Chiddush of a Nahar is that there's no water in the Nahar. Right now the river is dry, it's been dried up from its water, but it has a certain width. And if the fire passes across that great width, then you're potter. And basically, the shear is 8 amos, according to what we saw before, even if there's no water inside. And that's even more, shall we say, profound than a derech harabim, which has a shear of 16 amos, because in the case of a nor, it's very deep, and as a result, there's still a certain cold temperature to the bed, to the floor of the river. Even though there's no wetness there, there's no actual water in the Nahar, but yet it's wet, and therefore you don't need 16 amos, because even if it's only 8 amos, and this you'll see in Tosfos Divrei Rav Maskil Man di Omar Goder Mamish Afgav the Leste Mafgav the Shusarab and Boy Tesayan Ama Hocha Sagi Bishmon Amitoksh and Nor Omok Vyesh Bogam Krius Mayim Shaovrim Botomu. So there's a cold, moist rock bed here to this Nahar, even though there's no actual water there now. Uman di Omar Arisa de Daloy, but according to Shmuel, who says that our mission is talking about a case of a pool of water from which we draw water, e ispe maya in avolespe maya lo. When the Mishnah talks about traveling across a nar, it's talking about a nar that actually has water in it. Because if there's no water in it, then you're not potter niske eish, because it doesn't have that width that we spoke about before of derech harabim, and the fire could easily traverse this limited area if there's no water in the pool. And the Gemara now is going to bring a sugya mesechta peya called mafsikin lepeya in order to establish what this shlulit is, this kind of pool. Now, mafsikin lepeya means that if you have one large field, but part of the field is set apart from the other part, and there are many, many different permutations or scenarios in which there's a harchaka that splits that splits the field into two. And the Mishnah is going to talk about Shlulis. Shlulis is this pool of water that we spoke about. Tanai Nahasa, the Mishnah says in the second parak of Peah, the Elu Mafsik in the Peah, the following, make the Peah into two, make the Sada into two different Sados, such that you have to give Peah from each part or segment of the field, insofar as we define it as a separate, independent field. What is mafsik and separates and divides a field into two? Hanachal v'hashlulis, shlulis v'derech hayochid, v'derech harab. So in terms of derech, what we're talking about is a pathway. And a pathway which is created to separate between the eastern half and the western half of this sada, that itself is a mafsik lepeya. A derech hayochid has to be 4 amos wide. A derech harabim is 16 amos wide. And if these drachim cut through the entire middle of the field, it's considered like two sudas. You have to give pay on this side and pay on that side. However, shlulis, my shlulis, the Gemara asks, some Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, makom shemegis shamim shololim. Sholol means miskabtsin, nesofin, they get together. In other words, we're talking about an area which is dug out from the ground, and the waters come down from the heavens, the rainwaters, and they gather together in this, you know, this kind of subterranean level of a ditch or a cistern, and they become water supplies. Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that what is shlulis amas hamayim shemichalekes sholol li agapeha. A shlulis is some sort of an amas mayim. Amas mayim, we said once, if you recall back in the sugya bar, is a cistern, which is an area that's dug out so that the water can collect there. And once the water collects inside this shlulis, this amas hamayim, then we start taking water out in order to irrigate, in order to supply water for different sados. So we have two interpretations of shlulis. One is Rabbi Yudin, the name of Shmuel, and that is Megishamim Shololim. We have another definition in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and that is you dig out an area for a cistern that collects the water, and then the water is sent in different directions towards different tributaries to supply water for different fields. Is Mandi Omar Mokom Shemeg Shom Sholim Shom Kolshkein Amas Mayim, if, which is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, even a shlulis is capable of dividing a field into two? And that is because the Meg Shamim Asholim is Kagsim Sham, how much more so Amas Mayim, which is more profound, because it is actually a source of water for many different fields. That's more profound than Shlulis. Shlulis is just where the rainwaters collect and gather together. But now we're talking about Amas Mayim, which is a source for irrigation to supply water for many different sados. That surely is a more profound machalik to separate the field into two. Uman diom, but according to Rabbi Yochanan Amas Mayim, then it means dafka only Amas Mayim, because that's called a makom chashuv bifnei atzmo. Avol makom shemeg yishamim shololim sham lo mafsiki lepeya. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, a shlulis in the sense of collecting rainwater, that's not enough to constitute a mafsik and separate the field into two parts. Now what we're going to see soon, just momentarily, is how this machlokes, as far as mafsik and lepeya, will impact upon the dinim of Shmiras Eish. The Gemara says, Hanu, and here we're turning to page Samach Aleph Amin Beis, Bagne Diara Mikru. The reason why we will not consider Megishamim Sholim Sham, according to Rabbi Yochanan, as a mafsik bepeya, is because these are called Bagne Diara. They're called Boros Hakarka. These are part of the karak itself. They can't create two different sadhus if they're part of the karak. And therefore he can separate peya on one side of the shlulis on behalf of the sadhu that's on the other side of the shlulis. And there's no problem. The peya is chal for both sides. So again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that shlulis of Megis Shavim Sholim L'Sham, Miskatsin L'Sham, which according to Shmuel is a case where you would be potter for Eish. Nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a mafsik, not only be potter from Eish according to Shmuel, but you'd also be mafsik lepeya. Says Rabbi Yochanan, that's not a mafsik lepeya because it's part of the field itself. And here we have machlokus rishonim between the Shita Mekubetzes and the Yam Shel Shlomo. How does this all impact, meaning the laws of Mafsik Lepeya, on the Chiyuv Shmir of Eish? According to the Shita Mekubetzes, and he quotes the Ra'ah, the machlokus that we find here about Shlulis only applies exclusively to Peya. As far as Eish is concerned, in both cases, whether it is this kind of shlulis or that kind of shlulis, whether it is a natural collection of rainwater or whether it's something that's dug out in order to create a water for irrigation for fields, that whole issue is only as far as Mafsikim with Peya is concerned. But everybody would agree that even the shlulis of Shmuel would be enough to contain the fire, and you'd be part of an Ezekiel. That's the opinion of the Ra'ah and the Shita, but the Yam Shel Shlomo is of the opinion that this machlokus, this very identical machlokus, is relevant to Eish. Which would mean that it's not just a discussion about Mafsikim with Peya, but it's a general discussion as far as Eish is concerned as well. And now, Rabbosai, we're up to the Mishnah here on the top of Samach Aleph Amin Beis. The Mishnah says, Hamadlik Besok Shalo, if he has a flame in his own private backyard, and the wind carried it, and it was Masik Adkama Shetavar, Adkama, how much of a distance, Tavar, should it be passing, Hadleka, and after it passes that distance, be potter for Eish. The Beloz Ben Azariah Omer Roano So Keilu Hu Be Emtza Beis Kur. Now Emtza Beis Kur means you have a Beis Kur is an area that's 274 Amos by 274 Amos. And if you put your point in the middle of this, you know, if you put the hub, so to speak, in the middle of this circle, then you're going to put it at a point of 137 square amos. And Rabbi Elazar says that kilu be'emtza, imagine if the Eish was punked, it was exactly in the middle of this 274 square base core. If it was right in the middle, then we could assume the fire could reach the end of this base core and could actually travel 137 amma in any direction. If it goes beyond 170 amma, then you would be potter. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, that was Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. Now Rabbi Eliezer Omer, that what's the amount of distance that it could, that up until which you'll be chayev? Tes Zayin Amah. Kiderech Rishus Arab. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is the opinion of our Mishnah, if the fire passes beyond a width of 16 Amah, then you are potur. Rabbi Kiva Omer Chamishim Amah. Rabbi Shimon Omer Shalim Yishalim Amadres Avera Kol Lefi Adleka. Now let's focus for a moment on the statement of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon seems to assume that a dleka has the potential of traveling an infinite distance. And in all cases, the Torah says, Shalom Yishalim Amavis Abeira. You have to pay for everything. No matter how far the flame travels. And that's going to be, in the Gemara, an issue because Rabbi Shimon seems to contradict himself in Masechta Baba Basra. V'lesle the Rabbi Shimon Shiur V'dleika. Does Rabbi Shimon deny the whole concept that up until a certain distance you're chai, but beyond that you're potur? V'atnan, we have a mission in Baba Basra, on Daf Chofam in Beis, about the Bnei Ha'ir who want to stop someone from putting a dangerous eish that could endanger the rabbin, the people of the city. And the Mishnah says, Lo yamid adam tanur b'soch habayis elim kein yesh al gabo gova shel arba amos. You know, we're talking about a multiple story building, and if a person has a tanur, which is a hot fire, it may travel higher, you know, as we say, the fire gets taller and taller, and it may actually burn the house of his upstairs neighbor. So in order to guarantee that the fire that's burning in his oven will not travel, he needs, on top of the oven, a gov of arba amas up until the ceiling. So again, Reuven is on the bottom, Shimon is on top. Reuven's ceiling is the floor of Shimon's house. And Reuven has to guarantee that from the top of his oven, there'll be a minimum of 4 amos until the floor of Shimon's house on top. Okay. Now, Hoyama Mido Be'aliyah Ad She'tachtov Ma'ziva Shlosha Tfochim. What about a case where he is on the highest level of this multiple-storied house, and now we have to worry about the heat of the tanur going downwards because he's on the top, and ad she'tachtov maziva shlosha tfachim, we have to make sure that the floor below the highest, which is also the ceiling of the lower one, should have a minimum thickness of shlosha tfachim. Now, what is this shlosha tfachim? 3 tfachim of what? And the answer is 3 tfachim, the kind of padding protection, a flame protection of a maziva. Now, maziva, if he's on the highest level of the bias, is a what's called a shichva of tiach. Tiach is kind of a cement substance. So he's got to have a thickness of cement below his ritzvah, his floor, that separates his floor from the ceiling of the house below him, immediately below him. Now, how thick is this maziva, this cement, going to have to be? Shlosha tfachim. That's a very thick piece of cement that's going to separate and protect the bottom house from the heat of the and the fire of the tanur in the upper house. So 3 tfachim is the minimum. Ubikira. Kira is a much less profound kind of an oven. It's a small tripod kind of an oven. And it doesn't have within it a very, very heavy, intense flame. And therefore it's much easier to contain whatever ash there is in the kira. And all you need is a maziva underneath it of a tefach. So whereas in general, under the tanur, you need a padding of 3 tefachim to protect the floor of the tachton, here in the case of a kira, all you need is 1 tefach. Now, im hizik mishalim ma shehizik, which seems to assume that even if you fulfilled your obligation of harchak on a moral, ethical level, you have a clean slate, but nevertheless, you're going to pay damages if the fire spreads. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo nemru shiurin alolu ela she'im hizik potem ilishalim. According to Rabbi Shimon, when we gave these different shiurim, we said that if you're on the bottom floor of the house, you need 4 amos above your tanur to the ceiling. If you're in a case of an aliyah, you're on the top floor, you need 3 tefachim to protect the fire of the tanur. Ela shem hizik potem ilishalim. Says Reb Shimon that all these shiurim are not just ethical and moral responsibilities, as we'd say, l'chatchil, of what you have to do to separate 4 tefachim here, 3 tefachim here, 1 tefach here for a kira. No, these are dinim in the zikin, whether you pay for damages and you're liable or you don't. And if you are mazik, you're potim l'shalim, you did the archak kedin. But in any event, we see clearly that even Rav Shimon is moda here, that there is a fire for which you're potter, as long as you're marchik kedin. So how did our Mishnah say, akol lefi adleika, that according to Rav Shimon, you're always going to be chayev for eish? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rava, baravu akol lefi gova hadleika. What did Rav Shimon really mean? He wasn't giving a shear of merchak that would always be kavua. We should never do such a thing, says Rav Shimon. I object to setting up an absolute rule of harchaka. Why? Because it all depends upon the size and the height, so to speak, of the flame. How high does the flame rise? And based on the answer to that question, you can talk about shiurim. When do we assume it might be mazik? When do we assume it definitely won't be mazik? Is it ru'uya to pass a certain distance and be mazik? And the answer is that if a fire is high enough, she is fitting, she's ru'uya to travel great, great distances, and she'll jump and move into areas that are far, far away. When Rav Shimon says in the Brisa, "Hizik potem ilishalim," actually it's the Mishnah in Bava Basra, I mean, that means if he did the archaka, that is relative to the size of the flame, a suitable logical archaka. The Mishnah here in Masechta Bava Kama, when it quotes Rav Shimon, is saying that shalim yishalim akol lefi adleika. What he means is that there's certain shiurim that are inapplicable to this age, because this age is so tall and so powerful. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rava Bar Avua, Hakol Lefi Gove Hadleika, and Omer Rav Yosef, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel Aloch Grab Shimon, Chayn Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel Aloch Grab Shimon. So we accept Rav Shimon, and although we can assume in a normal fire that it's got these shiurim, but if it's a very, very tall and dangerous fire, you're going to have to expand the distance that it might travel, and you'll be chayav. The Mishnah then tells us about Tamun Ve'esh, and this B'li Neder is going to be the subject of our next major discussion in tomorrow's Shir. Hamadik is Hagodesh V'Hayu Bo Kelim V'Dolku Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishalim Ashi B'Tocha V'Chacham Arinu Mishalim El Hagodesh Shel Chitin O Shel Siorin. If we're talking about a haystack or a stack of wheat or barley, whatever it might be, and there are kelim, the utensils that are hidden inside this haystack, and everything went up in smoke and flame, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to pay for all the utensils that are inside, even though it's tamun, it's concealed. Chachamim say no. We have a drasha to exclude tamun v'esh, and therefore you're potter for tamun v'esh. Now again, keep in mind that the kelim inside the Gadish have a certain nofach to it, and they have a certain volume. That volume would be considered by the Halacha Din and Zikin as if it was completely filled in with more chitin or more siorin. And basically, whatever it looks like on the outside, that's what you're going to have to pay. And you can always pay as if the entire inside, the entire haystack, was pure chitin or pure siorin. Haya gedi kafuslo, the evit samachlo. If a person is responsible for aish, in a case where next to the fire there is an animal that's tied down, or there's a human being who is not tied down, then v'nisraf imo, if both the animal and the evid were killed by this fire, chayav, he's chayav to pay damages for both the gdi, the animal, and the gadish, but he's not chayav for the evid. So again, he burnt down the haystack. As a result of burning down the haystack, the evid was injured or possibly killed, and the gadish, of course, was burnt, as we said before. There was an animal that was tied down, that was kafus, next to the gdi, or tied down to the gadish. So obviously he's chayav both the gadish, which he directly burnt, and also the fire killed the animal, this gdi, but the gdi was kafus. But as far as the evidence is concerned, he's not chayav, because the evid is a human being. He was standing next to the gadish. We assume that he should have ran away. Evid kafus, but if the evid is tied down to the gadish, and now we're going to establish that he's chayav for killing the evid, gdi samachlo, v'nisrach imo. So what we have now is a burning of the gadish, and he killed both the evid and the gdi, just that the evid was tied down, the gdi was not. In such a case, potur, he, oddly enough, even though he burnt down the gadish, he's potur for paying damages on the gadish. And the reason for that is kim labor the ramine, because he's chayav misa for killing the evid who was kafus. And basically the principle that is being formulated here is that when an evid is tied down and he has no possibility of running away from the fire, you killed the evid. And in that case, you're chayv misa for killing an evid. However, as far as the gadish is concerned, he's potter because the kimle midrabin, anyone who's killed for this action doesn't have to pay damages. Now, as far as the gedi is concerned, he's potter for the gedi for the same reason of kimle to the rabbinay. The only question we have to address is, let's say the gedi is samachlo, does he have to pay for the killing of the gedi in a case where there is no kimle to the rabbinay? And one might assume on the one hand that the gedi should have ran away, on the other hand maybe that's only something that we anticipate from a human being, has the capacity and the intelligence to run away if he's not kofus. What would be the status of a gdi? Do we expect that this animal, this kid, should have ran away? And the impression you get is that if not for the fact that he killed the evid, he would be chayav for the gdi, even though the gdi is samachlo and not kafus. We're not going to apply the principle that the gdi should have ran away, not in the same way we would apply it to an evid who has intelligence. That's the definite impression you get from the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues and says, "Modim chachamim l'Rabbi Yehuda v'madlik es habira shumishalim kol mashe betocha shekein derech b'nei adam laniach bebatim." The chachamim are modim, the case where you burnt down someone's house, and we expect there to be all sorts of things in the house, that's not called tamud derech b'nei adam laniach bebatim. So the patur of tamud only applies when something is not in, you know, we don't anticipate that that thing should be concealed within the greater whole. And the Gemara is going to analyze this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim and all its permutations, and that Amir Tzshem will cover tomorrow. Thank you very much.